If someone talks to you and says, I want to know what's in you, obviously, whatever is going to be in you will have to uncover it, because it means it's in you. Okay? So, when you find the term in Christ, it's a phrase, or in Him, it's a phrase that explains the revelation nature of the epistles. It's a phrase that explains the revelation nature of the epistles. In other words, you can't, the four gospels is not in Christ. Because the four gospels are what we can call a human account, something anybody could have seen, as it were. Of course, the Holy Ghost was involved in documentation. I'm just saying it was an observation, a report of what he said or what he didn't say or what people said about him. But the term in Christ is revelation. It means it's to uncover a fact or a detail to you. That's why it uses the term in Christ. And so it's restricted to what happened, you know, in a very, what happened to Jesus much more after the four gospels. If I'm allowed to say that. This has to be revelation. Watch this now. In other words, if the gospel is taught or preached as a fact in Christ, just like he said now, he says the scriptures, alright, he says, there was no holy scriptures from thy youth or from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Obviously, he's not referring to the four gospels, because the word in Christ cannot be about the four gospels. Four gospels, I said earlier, is eyewitnesses about Jesus. But it's not revelation about who he is. I mean, what's in him. Now, we're going to quickly look at something. You know, we have the, what we call the four gospels, better called the synoptics. That is a synopsis, something people wrote about events that happened around the time that Jesus was here physically. And it's interesting to note that the four gospels had very little information about the gospel than the other books of what we call the New Testament. The four gospels had very little information. And this is instructive, and it makes us address our minds appropriately. So, you discover that what was preached in the four gospels does not necessarily carry the weight of his gospel. Now, don't get carried away by the word gospel. The word gospel is an English word. I've always told you, whenever you see words, you must look out for them in context. I'm going to deal with some of that in the second service. The second service, I'm going to explain a little bit about how to study the Bible. So, you need to know how words are used. So, when you find the word gospel, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the same thing he's saying, what is it elsewhere. Pay attention. Now, the word gospel, like I mentioned, is not necessarily what we have in the four gospels. Because I just said now that the word in Christ relates more to what did not happen in the four gospels than what happened in there. That's the word in Christ. Because it deals with revelation. It doesn't deal with Timothy never met Jesus. So for him to know what is in Christ, it can be a journalistic appraisal of it. You understand what I'm talking about? Is that very clear? He didn't meet Jesus. So for him to know salvation through faith in Christ, that means he's talking about something that deals with revelation. Now, go to Romans 1, because that's our text really. Romans 1. So salvation through faith, which is in Christ. In Christ is revelation of Jesus. Romans 1, that's really our text. That's as we started from. I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, what do you mean by the gospel of God? Now, when you say the gospel of God, the word gospel is the word euangelion. You know that, but I'll just spell it for you for the sake of reference and emphasis. EUAGGELLION. Or euangelion, you know. Now, in the four gospels, pay attention to this one. In the four Gospels, and we're going to open to quite some scriptures like I mentioned. In the four Gospels, it's used 15 times. That means all the four put together have it 15 times. All the four accounts. And many of them were repeated in the four Gospels. So if we use the law of random sampling, probably you have each of the four Gospels had about three that were repeated. So maybe together really we'll have about five or six times that was used. Do you understand what I just said? Okay, so that's four Gospels. Now, in the epistles, so in the book of Acts, we have the word huagelion used six times. So you may not even know the import of it by reading the four Gospels or the book of Acts. But then the book of Romans, just one letter, has it 13 times. Book of Romans, 13. Follow this there. 13 times. In 1 Corinthians, and I want us to look at the first, because we're in the book of Romans already, we may not have to go through it now. But in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, we're going to read through all the references. 1 Corinthians 1:15. I want you to see something very instructive. 1 Corinthians 1:15. Very good. That's it, 1:15. 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:17. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Through you, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. People have thought that this word instructors means mentors. Then the word father means spiritual fathers. Confusion. The instructors here is almost an insignificant contributor to your life. It's called a child leader. Someone who is just there until the child knows his right from his left. So the trainer of the child is not the instructor. But, you know, that's not my teaching today. So that's the gospel, right? So he uses the word, I begat you through the gospel. So he's saying to them, that the gospel, he preached the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1:17. He said, I gave birth to you through the gospel. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9. And then verse 12. 1 Corinthians 9. And then verse 12. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So for the first time, he adds a personality to it. The gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:12, 1 Corinthians 9:14, with those that they which preach the gospel should leave of the gospel, those which preach the gospel should leave of the gospel. Verse 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You call it the gospel of Christ, don't forget, in verse 12, I preach not the gospel. Okay, so something we have seen is that the gospel has to be what? Preached. Are you there? It's a message. It has to be preached. Good. The gospel is not giving out food. The gospel is not giving out food. The gospel is not giving out clothes. The gospel is preached. Praise God. Is that clear? It's not giving out food. There's no wrong giving out food. You give out food. Some guys say, well, Jesus gave out 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was that an outreach? He gave 5 loaves and 2 fish for you to know that he wasn't planning to do it. He said, you guys, how much do you have in the purse? We don't have much. So it wasn't like we were planning in the budget of the ministry. Every time people come to hear the word of God, make sure they have bread and fish. Bread and fish service. No. They were not planning to do it. That's why it was a miracle. Hallelujah. People have been with him since morning, so by evening, he said, these guys are already tired. They have not eaten. We can't just send them away. That's the point. They didn't ask the disciples or the apostles to bring bread and fish to the service. so that people can come to church. Praise God. Hope that makes some sense. Thank you. Verse 16, I think I said 14. Okay. Verse 14, we said it must be preached. Okay. Verse 15, verse 14. Verse 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. It must be preached. Verse 17, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 17. Verse 18, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. He used the word gospel so often here that you must really look at what he's talking about. And in talking about the gospel, he uses the verb preach. So the gospel is preached. The gospel is not lived. Hallelujah. Shall I go over that again? The gospel is preached, is not lived. It's not. See, my life is the gospel. That's your testimony. That's not his testimony. And it's the gospel of Christ. Alright? 16. Then I said 17. We're at 17. Okay. Then 18. That I may make the gospel without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. 18. Then, that's 3 times. Then, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. Which I preached unto you. And he told them exactly what he preached unto them. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And how he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did you notice that? He said how Christ died according to the scriptures. And he's not referring to the four gospels. So that means the gospel was a message in the Old Testament. He's not referring to the four gospels. According to the scripture. So he's saying the gospel I preached unto you is where? According to where? The scripture. So he got his facts from where? The Old Testament. He got his facts from the Old Testament. The book of 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Actually 12. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Paul speaking here. Therefore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, Christ's gospel, because in Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Christ's gospel to preach. Okay? Then look at chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel message now, be hid, is hid to them who are lost. If our gospel, he says, our gospel. Okay? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The light, that's verse 4. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Chapter 8, verse 18. So the gospel is not lived. The gospel is preached. 18. Whose praise we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. 2 Corinthians 8, 18. 2 Corinthians 9, 13. While the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. The gospel of Christ. Chapter 10 again, verse 14. And, for we have come as far as to you also in the gospel of Christ. Actually, in the preaching of the gospel, this verse says, in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. That is our job, is to preach the gospel, and not to boast of things, and not to boast of status and stuff like that. Is to preach the gospel. So, the first thing we have noticed is that the gospel is what? Preached. The gospel is what? Very good. Chapter 11. And then verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Notice that. Another Jesus is what he calls it. whom we have not preached. And if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you may well bear with him. So another gospel, verse 7. For have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely. Did you notice that he was telling the church that he was preaching to them the gospel? So the gospel is not come and get saved. Let me see if you understand that. Come on, you understand that? The gospel is not come and be born again. Come and be born, or only come and be born again. That's the right word to say. You know, it's the gospel. We're going out to preach the gospel. I want to go and preach the gospel. Can I share the gospel? I know I'm already a Christian. Seen that before? Can I share the gospel? No, I'm already born again. That guy, Muslim, is not a Christian. You can talk to him. No. The gospel is not come and get saved alone. Praise God. Get that right. The gospel is not just come and get saved. Okay, go to Galatians quickly. Galatians. I told you we're going to open quite some scriptures. Galatians 1, verse 6. Now this is vital. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. He calls the gospel the grace of Christ. It said unto another gospel. Verse 7 says, which is not another. Okay? But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, they have their own news, but it's not about Christ. So, the focus is this. The gospel of Christ must speak about who? Christ. According to the scriptures. Not Christ according to your vision. Not Christ according to what your grandmother told you. My mom, she got the book, this gospel, and she's reading it. And then she went to tell Pastor Lyon. She dares not tell me that. She told Pastor Lyon that this thing I'm reading in this book, the Lord Jesus himself told me. So I accosted her a few days ago. I said, why are you talking to the Lord Jesus? You have a book. Have you studied it? She said, I'm reading it. It's just much. I said, what's much in there? You have, she said, that understand it. I can't touch that one for now. You know, she said, Jesus, I thought the Lord Jesus doesn't have to tell you. Tell you what? You believe the gospel according to the scriptures. You know, she attends places where that's the height of revelation. Where they say, last night the Holy Spirit told me. This morning the Holy Spirit is still telling me. He's still going to tell me something again in the afternoon. And he says, do you know Jesus rose from the dead? That same spirit will soon tell you he was paralyzed. You had better stick to the good news. Hallelujah. Alright, where were we now? So another gospel, verse 7, verse 8 now says, though we are an angel, preach another gospel. So you can see it's preached. So you will know the gospel by what is preached and the content of what he said. Galatians 1:8. Galatians 1:9, he keeps talking about it. In verse 9, if any man preach another gospel unto you that you have not received, let him be accursed. Another gospel, verse 9. Or I go to verse 11, and I said before you that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, he didn't preach from the four gospels. That's what he's saying. I didn't preach from the human account. I didn't preach from what people said they heard about Jesus. It's not after man. Praise God. I said, praise God. People assume what Paul was saying was that he sat down and Jesus came to him and said, sit down there. I want to tell you about me. You see, I truly died. You see, I was buried. Really on the ground. No. There's nothing like that. Paul understood the gospel from the scriptures. That's why he didn't say, the gospel I preached unto you, how that Christ died, he told me. How he was buried, he gisted me. How I rose from the dead, he showed me the picture or the selfie. There's one funny guy like that took a selfie in heaven or something like that. You know, I can actually believe some folks are just. You know, someone was defending that fellow. And he said, I'm not saying he's not a Christian, I just said fellow, should I be neutral? He's neither here nor there. He said, I know he stage manages miracles, but he's still a man of God. I said, are you well? You put stage managed miracles and man of God in the same sentence, and you're not scared. Someone stage manages miracles and you put man of God to his name. Who is God? Anyway, he's not half man, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. Look at what we said. And I went by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. I communicated to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Verse 5. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the gospel might continue with you. Verse 7. Okay, at verse 7. When they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was coming unto me. Now, this is not a different message. The gospel of the circumcision means preaching to the circumcision. Okay? Preaching Jesus Christ to the circumcision. Or the uncircumcision, pardon me, was committed to Paul. That's what he said. Verse 14. Galatians 2. Then I saw that Peter, talking about Peter now, they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. This is when Peter was withdrawing himself from the non-Jew. So, that's not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that Christ died for all men. Glory to God. That's the truth in the gospel. So Jesus Christ is the subject matter of the gospel. You never forget that. That's very vital. This verse 14, chapter 4, verse 13. Now there's one place we're coming to, that's chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. There's a very vital text of scripture, we'll come into that one later. But go to chapter 4, verse 13. You know how, through an infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So again, the gospel is what? The gospel is what? Preached. Now, there's a unique word in that chapter 3, verse 8. You know, we have the word huagelion. Now, this is an active word. God preached the gospel unto Abraham. Preached before the gospel. Is a word that's pro-huagelizio. I'm coming to it, don't worry, but it will come to it. It means to say it before it happened. And this lets us know how everyone before Jesus came became a believer. This is the kind of adjective that explains what they heard. Watch this now. You know, we said the gospel is according to where? According to where? So the scripture of the Old Testament. That means the gospel was present in the Old Testament. Come on. Are you there? So that means it's possible to believe in the Old Testament. Come on. If you were available then, if you were around then, is it possible to believe the gospel then? Yes, because the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Let me see how you understand that. Very good. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, quickly, we're looking at the word the gospel, preach the gospel. So the term gospel is used more outside the four gospels. Isn't that true? Alright, Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So again, the gospel is preached by the gospel. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15. The gospel of peace. Now 6:19. 6:19. For unto me, that all trust may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now that's like an opposite. What an opposite? If I call something mystery and I say to make known, that means it's no longer a Thank you. So long as words here. I want to tell you today the mystery of the gospel. It's a mystery. You're sounding more miserable. Hebrews 4:12. That's it, 4:12. I want to say Hebrews 4:2. Look at this one. It's Old Testament now. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In other words, the gospel was preached to the children of Israel when they left Egypt. Wow, yeah, the gospel was preached unto them. As well as, then again, don't forget, who was the content of the gospel? Huh? What was it? How Christ died according to the scriptures. How he was buried according to the scriptures. How he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Now, pay attention to this. Don't lose this one. Now, if it was in the Old Testament like that, it will be a promise. He never died in the Old Testament. He wasn't buried in the Old Testament. He wasn't raised from the dead in the Old Testament. But it was promised in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Okay. So 1 Peter 1:12, very vital text. 1 Peter 1:12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 1:12. Know that verse. This is Peter speaking. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have what? Preached. Now what? Preached. Come on. Have what? Preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Very interesting detail is this. Which things the angels what? Desire to look into. So, whatever is the gospel, and I want you to get this right, whatever is the gospel will not be found in the utterances of angels. This is very vital. Whatever is called the gospel will not, that's why no angel was given a mention in the gospel. It's always what the prophet said, not what the angels said. I'm almost thinking we should have law in Genesis 6, but maybe next year. Hallelujah. Because there's something I want to tell you, but maybe not this year, maybe sometime later. Some guys like asking questions. And I'm telling them, the one I thought, have you listened to it? Not yet, but my mind is just going, renew your mind, okay? Let your mind be in control. Now look at 1 Peter 1:25. You learning something? 1 Peter 1:25. So the gospel is not come and be saved alone, right? Come on. 1 Peter 1:25. By the word of the Lord. Now before he said that, he said, being born again of corruptible, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Verse 23, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Verse 25, let's say 25 together. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He calls it the word of the Lord. So he says we are born again from the gospel. So what is in the gospel is called incorruptible seed. Okay, so we're trying to establish what we can call the righteousness of God. We said, the righteousness of the law cannot be the righteousness of God. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, so let me attempt to go further now. So we were in 1 Peter 1:25, I believe. Okay. Being born again of God. So it says, is the word of the Lord, chapter 4. Verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, and live according to God in the spirit. The gospel was preached. He didn't say the gospel is being preached. Mm-mm. Was preached. So he's telling you in the Old Testament, the gospel was preached. Alright? Not is being preached. 1 Peter 4:6. Then verse 17. For the time is come that judgment may begin at the house of God. For if it be first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? He calls it again the gospel of God. So note this as you're writing, that the gospel is spoken more after the four gospels. Why is this? Because the gospel is about the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is about the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is about the resurrection of Christ. Never forget what I just said. The gospel's focus is on the resurrection of Jesus. The focus of the gospel cannot be the earthly life of Jesus. The focus of the gospel cannot be the earthly life of Jesus. The focus of the gospel is in His resurrection. That's the focus. Now, look at the book of Acts. I want to add something to this. Write this down. The earthly life of Jesus was not the teaching in the epistles. The earthly life of Jesus was not a teaching. Because the earthly life of Jesus was human account. The Holy Ghost inspired people to put it down, but it's human account. So, they weren't using that to teach. That is, the four gospels was not the teaching of the church. That's why they hardly quoted anything from Jesus in the four gospels. Almost insignificant. In fact, look at Acts 2. Let's examine all the sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 2. Verse 16 to 17. This is Peter speaking about his sermons. The first sermon. He says, this is that, verse 16, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He preaches from where? Joel. Follow this, come on. This is going to make sense soon. Then he mentions what they all know in verse 22, 23. Then in 25, he says, for David speaks on this wise. He's quoting Psalm 16, verse 8. He goes further. Then he speaks in 34, Psalm 110, verse 1. For David is not ascended to heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So, where is he preaching from? Where is he preaching from? What is he preaching? The gospel. From where? The Old Testament. He's preaching the gospel from the Old Testament. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 again. Repent and be converted. That your sins, let's start from 18. But these things which God before had showed by the mouth of who? All his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Then, in verse 20, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was what? Preached unto you. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatever he shall say unto you. Moses had already signed off and said, look, what I'm saying is cool, but there's one that you will hear in all things. So, there was a gospel in Moses' message. Then in verse 25, it says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham that in thy seed shall all the kings of the earth be blessed. For unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Are you there? Are you there? So you can see that they preached Jesus from where? They preached Jesus from where? They preached Jesus from where? The Old Testament. Chapter 5 verse 52. Chapter 5 verse 42. And daily in the temple, let's take that together, come on. 5:40, let's go. And daily in the temple, come on everybody, I'm waiting. Everybody, let's start again. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Were they giving history or they were preaching from the Old Testament? Huh? Old Testament. Were they talking about Jesus' favorite shoes? No. Were they saying that, you know, Jesus, this is how we used to sit down. Let's have Christian sitting. No. There were specific things they focused on about Jesus from the Old Testament. Look at chapter 6, the same thing. Stephen's message was from the Old Testament. Look at chapter 8 as well. When you hear that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ, verse 5, Acts 8. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. What did he preach? Where did he, we don't have a record that he ever knew Jesus? How would you preach someone you never met? You must preach by revelation. Hallelujah. He's preaching someone that he never met. He's a witness for someone he never saw. Very likely Philip, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, we don't know. But in chapter 8, we have an idea of how he was preaching. He met an Enoch, an Ethiopian Enoch, who was reading Isaiah the prophet in verse 28. And in verse 30, Philip asked him, "Understands thou what thou readest?" And the man said, "How can I? Except some man shall guide me." Then Philip came up and sat with him. And the place of the scripture which he read, Isaiah 53, that's where he read. And the Bible says in verse 35, let's take verse 35 together. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at where? And preached unto him who? Remember, can we say preached unto him the gospel? From where? Isaiah 53. We have seen the gospel preached from Joel. We have seen the gospel preached from Psalms. We have seen the gospel preached from Moses. Are you following this? Very good. Acts 9, Saul, verse 26, no, 26, verse 22, proving that this is the very Christ. He's proving to the Jews, how is he doing it? He's doing it with the scriptures, Acts 9, 22, that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 10, 43, Peter began to tell us, you know, he's telling Cornelius the story of how Jesus, we were in Jerusalem, we preached and all that, and he went on and on, Acts 10, until he got to verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Let's take verse 43 together. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive what? So this was a message in the Old Testament. Are you following this? But it will be a message in a promissory note, since it's tied to his resurrection. So it's found where? In the Old Testament. So when you hear in Acts 11:26 that they were teaching in the church and they taught every day and taught disciples, they were teaching the Old Testament. They were not teaching the epistles. They were teaching the Old Testament. Let me see how they're following this at all. No, we started with the word gospel. Good. Look at chapter 13. Paul. This is quite much, so I'll just reduce it for you. Paul told them the story from the Old Testament, then mentioned John the Baptist, and then in verse 24 and 25, alright, then he says, men and brethren, verse 26, children of Israel, just talk of Abraham, whosoever among you feared God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Okay, so he says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in the condemnation. So he calls it the voices of what? The prophets, read every Sabbath day. Verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. And God raised him from the dead. Let's take verse 32 together, 33. Let's go. And we declare unto you, come on, everybody, and we declare unto you what? Glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled. So that means in the Old Testament it was what? A promise. Look at 37. But he whom God raised saw no corruption. Be known unto you, men and brethren, and through this man is what? Is what? Preach what? Forgiveness of sins. So was forgiveness of sins present in the Old Testament? Yes. Let's take verse 39 together. And by him, all that believe are justified from what? Which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, justification by faith was present when Moses gave the law. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Are we on the same page? So, justification by faith was present even when Moses gave the law. Those that were, that was the dispensation of grace. This is the dispensation of law. Where we have a book out already, the Hyper Grace Gospel of Christ, amen, that debunks all this kind of stuff. God did not get born again in the New Testament. No, God changed his ways. He changed his ways. He used to be very bad. Then he now saw it was not good to be bad. So he changed. No way. Come on, Acts 14. Acts 14. I love this one. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, that gave testimony. This is very different. Just wanted to point this out to you. Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. He calls it the word of his grace. Acts 14:3. What's the word of his grace? Verse 7. And there they preach what? The gospel. What did they preach there? The gospel. They preach the gospel. Look at Apollos. Apollos himself, where was he preaching Jesus Christ? He was preaching Jesus Christ, Acts 18, from the Old Testament. Verse 24. Mighty in the scriptures. Apollos. He taught diligently the things of the Lord, the things of Jesus from the Old Testament. Acts 17:31. He gave assurance unto all men. Where did he give assurance unto all men? In the Holy Scriptures. That's where he gave the assurance. Acts 19. Paul preaching to those folks in Ephesus. He preached unto them Jesus Christ in verse 4. Where did he put Jesus Christ to them? From the Holy Scriptures. Verse 8, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now go to Acts 20. Acts 20. In Acts 20, verse 21 to 24. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentant toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How did he do that? He did that from the scriptures. And he calls in verse 24, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now look at verse 35. Verse 35 is something we're going to examine later. Hold on. Hold on to verse 35. Quickly go to chapter 26. We're coming to verse 35. We're coming to 35, chapter 20, verse 35 shortly. We'll go to 26. Now, Paul is talking about his own message, his own gospel, what he's preaching. And in verse 16, "Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of which things I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified." Look at what it says. So they might receive what? Forgiveness of sins. Now, if Paul had focused on his own, on this vision he had, he would probably be teaching nonsense. Because a vision explains nothing. Seeing Jesus in your bedroom does not explain scripture to you. You'll have to get a hold of it and understand it. If seeing Jesus was to understand the gospel, then his disciples should have been the best of teachers. But they were not. So look at how Paul founded the truth. Look at 22. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than what?" Come on. Then what? Come on. Then what? "Things which the prophet and Moses did say shall come." So where did Paul get his message from? Old Testament. Not from the appearance of Jesus. Come on, let me see if you can see this. Can you see this well? Say that Moses and the prophet, look at 23. "That Christ shall suffer, and that he should be the first that shall rise from the dead and show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles." He wasn't going everywhere and say, "The man who saw Jesus." Brethren, that day, the soil was hard. But as he came on that soil, it became soft. Brethren, Jesus is powerful. Oh, the keyboard is playing. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, Jesus. Oh, brethren, have you seen him before? You want to see him? When you see him, you are crying. How is that the gospel? You are preaching a vision, not the gospel. The gospel is preached from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Not from your experience. Not from your encounters. Not from what the Spirit said into your ears, or to your mind, or to your, on your head. It's what is written. For it to be the gospel, it must be written. So quickly go to Acts 20. I wanted to show you something. Now Paul said, "I have showed you," listen very well, let him that hasn't hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Acts 20:35. "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." It's a very tricky phrase. How he said, where? Where did he say it? You won't find this phrase anywhere. Not even in the four Gospels. So, where did Paul get this from? Now, the key word is the word remember. The word remember is the word mnemoneo. I'll spell it for you. You have to twist your mouth. M-N-E-M-O-N-E-U-O. Now, pay attention to this. It refers to an event that you have heard about. Or something we have all heard about. Then I say, recall. Now when I say recall, he wasn't particular about the phrase as much as about what was meant. So, that implied, pay attention, that the things Jesus said were reported. For example, Luke told us they were eyewitnesses. Those who heard these things, you know, they commonly reported those things among those that believed. So those words, oh, Jesus did say this. How did he say it? Well, he preached this. He said this here. And so people knew. They didn't see him. They didn't hear him directly. So folks reported those things to them. And then he said, you should recall. So he uses the word, pay attention now, pneumonia, which he used earlier in verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He didn't tell you exactly the content. He just said, recall an event. So, what is he asking them to remember? That means someone gave them an eyewitness account of the things Jesus taught, which were not put in particular words. Because at this time, there was no documentation by anybody of the things that Jesus preached and said. So, this shows you how they handled those things. He wasn't part of the teaching of the church. That's why I say remember. He didn't say believe. Remember. That is, put this in mind. What it was in particular, we don't know. But he summarized them by saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when we say it's more blessed to give, that word there means it's fortunate. That the person who gives is more fortunate. Now, I could drive this argument a bit and say it's a Sermon on the Mount. Or we go, yes, I like Sermon on the Mount. Where he said, if you have 2 cloaks, you give one to your brother, right? Now he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are merciful. About that. But you see, don't hold me on that. I don't say, pastor said, that's the Sermon on the Mount. I said, I could. I didn't say I have. You know. So it shows you, you know, in a court of law, there are some evidences that they just say, well, it's not of much probative value. It's not much. It's just hardly mentioned. This is just there. Okay? The words of our Lord Jesus. And we can't even place our hands on exactly where it was. Didn't say it is written. So, it's just something everybody heard commonly. Someone said to someone and we heard about it. So, it could never have formed the doctrine of the church. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. It could never have formed, if you came in late, you can't. Alright? Try and come into church early. He could never have formed the doctrine. Does he have the same force as the things we have read earlier? Huh? Come on now. Does this have the same weight as the things we have read earlier? No. He didn't have it. So, that shows you how they took the words of Jesus. Because they were reported by third parties. But that which was written, pay attention now, and spoken by the prophets, alright, formed the basis of the teaching and the doctrine of the church. Are you there? Are you there? So I wrote in my notes, I said, it's very likely that he's talking about two things. Either something someone preached about what Jesus said, or a teaching of Jesus widely reported. Because, you know, why it is like that is, Paul, we read in Galatians 1:11 earlier on, Paul says, how that his gospel was not after what? Man. In other words, what Paul was preaching was not, remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why he just made a veiled reference to it. It wasn't part of a core teaching of the church. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. Come on. It wasn't part of the core teaching of the church. Very good. So the gospel, write this down if you write it. The gospel is framed from outside the four gospels. Something like that. It's framed from outside the four gospels. There was not much information about the gospel in the four gospels. For example, look at what was being said about Jesus. For you to know that the message that was preached in the four gospels was not sufficient enough. In Matthew 16, verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Now, at this point, I want you to listen very well. He had preached in every city. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Matthew 9, 35 and 36. He had preached. In Matthew 10, he had even sent his disciples to go all over the place and preach. They will go all over the place and preach. And Peter told us what they preached. What did they preach? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost, and then with power went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what they were preaching. So there was so much preaching going on, but there was not much depth of revelation. You can do a conference of 10 days. It's not how long it went. Don't be excited at that. Hey, it's not how long. It's how well. It's both long and well. Right? You know how long. They've been preaching and preaching. So he asked them, "You guys have been going out every day. You're on television. You're on social media. What do men say I am? Who do they say I am?" They say, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others Elijah. Some Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets." Now, what is common in what everybody says? Huh? Prophets. That's very common. Whether you call him John the Baptist, whether you call him Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And in those days, you could have started a church and say, "John the Baptist, International Apostolic Ministry." You could have said, "Elijah, come again. Evangelistic intrusion to the nations." You can say, "Jeremiah," or say, "Jesus, Jeremiah, in God. Power of God." Or just say, "One of the prophet's mysterious ministry," something like that. So he now turns to his own folks. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That could only have come by revelation. Why did Jesus say to them, "You knew it by revelation"? Why? Why did he say to him that you knew it by revelation? So you couldn't have known him from the four gospels. That's what he said. Why did he say you knew that by revelation? You couldn't have known who he was. So folks were preaching and talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, who said that Jesus was anointed? Who said it publicly? John. John the Baptist said it publicly. That he saw the Holy Ghost come on him. And John was a prophet. John witnessed of him. And Jesus read the book of Isaiah where it was also said about him. So they went around preaching. Not from revelation. And they had miracles and signs and wonders. And, you know, people knowing that Jesus was a prophet, did they get healed? Huh? Come on, did they get healed? Was that faith in Christ? No. We're going to see a couple of things now. You discover that almost everyone who received a miracle from Jesus did not know who he was. Hallelujah. They didn't know who he was. Now, you think the disciples are champions on some. Look at John 3. Nicodemus said, "Thou art a teacher." "Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God. For no man doeth these miracles." A whole Nicodemus. Reverend Dr. Nicodemus, D.D., Ph.D., D.D., your pastors are doing that today. You put D.D. behind your name. That's interesting. So many things that we, in the Pentecostal Charismatics, what we said about the Orthodox churches of those days, we are now doing in a very multiply effect kind of thing. We know we are media, so we know how to blow things up. Anyway, where was I? So, Said, thou art a teacher come from God. A whole Nicodemus. Nicodemus was, Nicodemus today has become a brand name for those who come to you in Facebook, inbox. They come inbox to ask questions. I know people who send folks to our church to collect books. They couldn't come themselves. Anyway, just read it. That's sufficient, alright? They come inbox. Yeah. You've been a blessing to us so much and all that. Why can't you say it publicly? Nicodemus was fearing the Jews. He was a teacher of Israel. Alright? But no problem. God will save Nico. John 5. He didn't know who he was. Look at the man who was impotent at the pool of Siloam. Watch this. John 5. Jesus said in verse 7. The man said, okay, look at verse 6. Now this is a scripture where people believed that an angel used to come to stir the waters. It was a belief. Jesus was not the one who said it. So don't say, we're waiting for the stirring of the water. And we're waiting for the stirring of the water. Has the water been stirred? Stop joking. If you want the water to be stirred, go to Siloam. Go to Bethsaida, pardon me. They have 5 porches. Then Jesus saw him lying, verse 5, verse 6, and then he asked, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? The man said, sir. He didn't say, Lord Jesus. He said, sir, I have no man. No man. When the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. This must be in Nigeria. You don't have BFQ at all. Jesus said unto him, what did he call him? Star. Rise up, or rise, take up thy bed, and walk. That's what he told him. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, look at verse 11. He answered, he had made me whole. The same said unto me, take thy bed. Okay, let's start from verse 10. The Jews said unto him, that was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. These are idiots. And verse 11. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take thy bed and walk. They asked him, what man is that which said unto you, take thy bed and walk? And he said, he that was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had run away. That's what it means. Conveyed himself. We just put the word run away. That word convey is just epizy. Did the man know who did it? He didn't know. Did he say, precious Jesus, before he got healed? I thank you for. He just had someone say, get up, you'll take your bed and walk. It didn't matter to him who said it. He just got up. He could have happened in the mosque. You're frightened? He said, I don't even know the person. But he got healed. Are you still there? Faith in the gospel, gospels, is not necessarily faith in Christ. You learning something? People can receive miracles and they are not born again. In fact, most of the people who receive signs and wonders in the Bible are not believers. Amen? Why are you quiet? Is that a revelation? Look at John 9. Now I'll quickly run about this one. This man was blind and then he saw. Look at what he said about Jesus. Jesus spat into his eyes. If you want a miracle, anything. Can you say anything? Anything will work. He's fine to his demand. He never said, did you brush? He's just speaking into my eyes, my guy. Don't say, did you brush? Please, before you pray for me, have you brushed? What toothpaste do you use? Doesn't matter. Pepsodent? Alright? He went his way. Hananiah, look at this. Watch this. They said unto him, how were your eyes open? Verse 10. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clean, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they asked him, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't know. And then he asked the prayer and said, who is this person that prayed for your son? He said, this person, we know that this is our son, and he was born blind. So we see all these questions you're asking us, the man has received sight. Look at verse 17. Says to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Are you there? Those people, for example, in John 6, that he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish for, the minute he said, I'm giving my body, my life, my body as the life of the world, they just left the service. Small by small, go to the ushers. Those of you in the sales committee, going after people that leave the service. How many we go after? 4,000, 5,000? Says, why are you going? Say, who are you? They ran away. They got the miracles. They ate the 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he did not believe the message. Hallelujah. Do you understand what we're saying here? Very good. So, in Luke 24, you learning something? Alright. That's why teaching faith in the fourth gospel, you have to be very careful. The woman with the issue of blood, she just heard of Jesus. What did she hear of Jesus? That he is the promise of God fulfilled. What were they saying about Jesus? He's a prophet. Ah! Come and see those clothes. Those clothes. Hey, you touch the clothes. So, they touch his clothes. Say, do you know that if you touch that man's clothes, you can be healed? I can be healed. The man said, he must be a great man of God or a good God of man. So she said, I will touch his clothes. Then, that cannot be your faith. Praise God. You can learn one or two things from there, but you are not the woman. She didn't get born again because of that. She was not born again before. We don't have a record of that. So, can people receive miracles and they don't even believe in Jesus? And they will never believe. Is that possible? Today? Yep. Hallelujah. So, look at Luke 24. His own disciples were not having a discussion. And you know, they were talking about the things that have happened in Jerusalem. Then he asked them in verse 17, what manner, Luke 24, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Then one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, are thou Elena? So a stranger in Jerusalem? You have not known the things that have come to pass in these days? Then Jesus asked them, what things? So he now began to explain Jesus to Jesus. What things? Look at how his own disciples called him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet. His own. So forget that long thing they were saying earlier that the people said so. These are his own disciples. First service, second service they will attend. Evening service, morning service. Say, a mighty man of God. His own disciples. He now said, oh fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I'm not a prophet, I'm more than a prophet. I'm the message of the prophets. So those who walked with him didn't even know. Hallelujah. He now had explained to them the things concerning himself. So the information you have about Christ in the four Gospels cannot be sufficient to teach anybody about Jesus. Let me see if that's clear to you now. Is that clear to you now? Very good. In other words, this is funny. It happens that the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, carries more information than the four Gospels. How about that? Come on. Is that true? Come on, is that true? Come on, let me go about that again. I said the Old Testament got more information about Jesus than the four Gospels. Is that correct? Because Jesus himself had to use the Old Testament to talk about himself in the four Gospels. Genesis, Malachi. So go back to Romans 1. That was our text. That's where we started from. The Gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the Gospel of God. Huajalion. The Gospel of God. Huajalion. The Gospel of God. Now before we go there, I skipped something and let me forget. Put your hands there. Go back to Luke 24, quickly. We are faithful, O Lord, you are grace. Okay. Luke 24:25. All fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have what? Suffered these things and to enter into, huh? Now the word glory is doxa. Okay? So, what is doxa is glory. Glory means his wealth, who he is, his magnificence, right? So, where is his glory? In his death or in his resurrection? Huh? So how do you see someone? You see him in his glory. You see him in all his glory. You see him in who he really is. That's what glory means. In all his glory. For example, you probably could meet the president of America. You don't know him. You just meet him somewhere. And those who don't know him, maybe he just strolled into your room. You don't know who he is. You're talking to him, and all that. So please, can you sit down there? And the guy sat down, you know. So please, and he'll be quiet because great men don't make noise. So no problem. So he said, why do you come late? And then maybe he came to see your boss at work and say, my boss was not seeing people after 9. You have to come tomorrow and all that. And you know, and he just sits in quietly. So quietly. So your boss is coming in, and then your boss comes in with some, maybe some security folks, and as they saw him, everybody just stands attention like this, huh? You are still fumbling on one side. Your boss says, who is that? That is his glory. You understand? That is his glory. That means there's a response to his personality, his office. You are a fool, a slow of heart, to believe. Okay? So, the resurrection of Jesus is his glory. That is where we see him. Not in the incarnation. The resurrection is his glory. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So go to Romans 1:1. The gospel of God. The gospel of God will be found where? In the Old Testament. The good news of God will be found where? Come on, where? In the Old Testament. Now go to, put your hands in Galatians 3:8. And the scriptures foreseeing, Galatians 3:8. You need to pay good attention now. We're halfway, or we'll get home soon. And the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before what? The gospel to Abraham. So, when you say the gospel of God, it's in the Old Testament. Now, look at this. He says, separated unto the gospel of God. My God, you must not lose this one. The life lies immobilized. This must not be lost. The word separated is not the same word used for sanctification. Here's the word haporizo. It's used for making a distinction and a boundary. Haporizo. Haporizo. It's used 10 times in New Testament Greek. In Acts 13:2. They were prophets and teachers. Pay attention. In Antioch. Then it says, separate me. Mark them out. Mark them out from amongst yourselves. Paul or Barnabas and Paul. The same word you find in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them and be ye separate. It doesn't mean you run away from people. It means you should be distinct from them. Pay attention now. Same thing in Galatians 1:15. What do you mean? Separated unto the gospel of God. Because to Old Testament, but you must be dedicated to what? The gospel of God there. That means not everything in the Old Testament is the gospel of God. Let me see your hand. Does that make sense? Not everything in the Old Testament is the gospel of God. You must lose this one. Separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 2, where? Romans 1. Which he had promised before or afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Which he has promised before. So he calls the gospel a promise before. It's not a promise now. It's a promise before. It's the word propageleo. Propageleo. P-R-O-P-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. It says, wait now, it means to announce in advance an event. Something I'm going to do. I should tell you ahead of time. This is what I'm going to do. Propageleo. A promise that is not a prediction. No. It's not a prediction. A prediction will have many personalities. This is not a prediction. This is to tell you personally what I am going to do. In a propageleo, only one person is the character. Just one person. And in this sense is God. That's why he calls it the gospel of God. In advance. It's the same thing that was said to Abraham. God preached the gospel before. So what is called the gospel of God will be found as what God said exclusive to him. And listen to this. He uses the word aphorism, meaning that it's not everything that the prophet said that came from God. Hallelujah. The only thing that came from God will be concerning his son. Hallelujah. What came from God will be concerning his son. So, the Holy Scriptures has many words. Words of the prophets. Words from God on the mouth of the prophets, and so on and so forth. So watch this. Look at Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, or in sundry times and diverse manners, the prophets spoke unto the fathers, alright, in diverse ways and diverse manners. But in these last days, God has spoken where? In his son. So they spoke in a promissory note what God will do in his son. What did he say? He spoke in his son concerning the resurrection. Hebrews 1:3. Same thing Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Now when you say all the prophets have spoken, it's wise to say all this that the prophets have spoken. Because it's not everything that the prophets spoke was about Jesus. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I've warned you on the use of the word all. Remember that? Remember that? Don't use the word all in an unlimited fashion. always use the word all within the context of what he's saying. He who spared not his own son, but gave him unto thy, shall he not with him freely give us of all things, of all these things. What are the things he was talking about? Just back up to verse 29, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, to be called, to be justified, to be glorified. That's what he's talking about. Don't say, he's with his son, he will give us glory sense. Stop that nonsense, okay? Drop it. All must be within the context. For example, he can say, they won. Please don't take off the light again. Alright, devils have said they're fine. You know, how can a believer be called the devil? Red devil, to be precise. Let's go further. So, when you use the word all must relate with the context of what he's saying. Now, watch this. So, the promise must be related to what God will do in Christ. No more. What he will do in Christ. Now, look at verse 2 again. Concerning his son, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus Christ our Lord. Concerning his son. And that's the incarnation. In verse 3. So, God's word is about who? Jesus. Never forget that. God's word has been consistent from Genesis. It's about his son. That's why Jesus is called the word. It's about his son. Now look at verse 4. Let's read verse 4 together. Come on. Come on, let's go. Verse 4, Romans 1. I thought you were there. Now, let's make it make sense. The gospel of God, which he promised by the prophet in the Holy Scriptures. So we'll find it in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Alright? Don't forget, separated unto the gospel of God. That means, we will look at the Old Testament, and then we will mark out. You understand? We'll mark out. What are we marking out? The gospel. And how do we mark out the gospel? It must be concerning who? The Son. Now, don't now be looking out for Jesus and say, yes, Esther is Jesus. Please stop that. Okay? He was very special. Concerning, peri in the Greek, which is used for particular subjects, his son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. This is not a revelation. Everybody knew this. Right? You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to know verse 3. Am I right? That he is seed of David. Just know his dad, his mom, and be able to specify where he came from in the flesh. But hear this. Paul says no. That's according to the flesh. Hallelujah. Declared the Son of God with power. The word declared is the word phorizo. Now, you know, we looked at the word aphorizo. H-O-R-I-Z-O. Aphorizo means to take out of all. So, horizo also means to distinguish. So, Jesus was distinguished of all the characters in the Old Testament. That is, of everything that was said in the Old Testament. This is how to know about Jesus. This is how to know this is Jesus. How do we know? By the resurrection. Hallelujah. Can you see this? By the resurrection from the dead. So, you mark out Jesus in the Old Testament by what? Not by death, but by life. So life has always been the content of God's word. Life has always been the content of his communication. Life. Resurrection from the dead. So, what was the promise that he gave Abraham? Just call it life. Right? Life to the dead. When it says, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, he's not talking about things. No. He's talking about life. Justification by faith. Glory to God. We're going to see this soon. You know, go to Galatians 3. Let's see this. I mean, put your hands in Titus 1 and then Galatians 3. You learning something? Are you learning something? Galatians 3. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel on Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All. Life will come to you in Christ. When it says in thee, it can't be in Abraham, it has to be in Christ. Hallelujah. It is saying, Abraham shall all the nations be blessed. That's Bible interpretation gone haywire. You are preaching the gospel to somebody who believes it. And then it will be in him that everybody will be blessed. About no. Do you understand that? The word in thee, Paul now specifies. Look at verse 16. And to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. To Abraham and his seed. Two personalities are one. Oh, come on. The word and. Abraham, that is his seed. Are you there? Good. Shall all the nations, or that no, where the promise is made, he said not as to seeds, as of many, but as of what? One. As to thy seed, which is who? Huh? So in who is everyone blessed? In Christ. Let me see how you understand that. So the word indeed refers to who? Jesus. And specifically, to the resurrection of Christ. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Okay, go back there. Look at Titus 1. Not even gone into my major teaching of the day. But this will lay background for you. Titus 1. So, God's communication has always been what? Huh? Life. Life. Life in the Son. Titus 1. Paul, verse 1. A servant of God. An apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2. In hope of what? Eternal life. Watch this. In hope of eternal life. Which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The word there is epagelomai. I'll spell it for you. E-P-A. W-G-E-E-P-A-W-G-E-L-O-M-A-I. E-P-A-W-G-E-L-O-M-A-I. It's a personal promise. Something you said yourself before the world began. So all of God's utterances must be traced to this. If you're looking at what did God exactly say himself? It has to be the promise of life. He said, before the world began. Watch this. That means there was no Sinai when this happened. No one had sinned at this point. Sinai sinned. They look alike. In Galatians 3:19, that word is used. The promise was made. Hepa. Jelumai. Hebrews 6:13. It's always related to God personally. Hebrews 6:13. God made promise to Abraham. It's a personal commitment. Hebrews 10:23. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without faith. For faithful is he that promised. Promised. Hebrews 12:26. Hebrews 12:26. But now he had promised, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Remember that? We explained that. James 1:26. James 1:26. James 1:26. James 1. No. James 2:5. Has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to them that love him? Every time this word is used, a singular person is involved. He himself promises. He himself said, this is what I'm going to do. 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25. God has never promised destruction. He has never promised punishment. He has always promised life. 1 John 2:25. Let's take that together. And this is, I'll wait for you. 1 John 2:25. Are you there? Are you there? Now let's go. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. Is that consistent? Has it been consistent? So, what is consistent in the promise of God? Life. So, we can say, the gospel of Christ is the will of God. If you are looking for the will of God is in the gospel of Christ. It's the will of God. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. So, what God did in Christ is his power. The power of God is found in the promise of Jesus. Write this down if you can something. The sufferings of Christ was done by man. The sufferings of Christ was done by man. In collaboration with the devil, no doubt. And the glory that followed was done by God. The resurrection. It's vital to see that. Acts 2:33. Okay, before we go there. So God's role in the death of Christ was that he commended his love towards us. Romans 5:8. How did he commend his love? Romans 8:32. He gave him up to die. That word gave up like betraying someone. He gave him up to die. He didn't die for God. He died for man. He gave him up to die. John 3:16, for God's was by God. The sufferings of Christ was by men. The resurrection of Christ was by God. What role did God play in the sufferings of Christ? Love. Not justice. Love. He gave Jesus for us. Not for him. For us. So that's very vital. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What does that mean, to give his only begotten son? Go to John 3:14. John 3:14. John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As he lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The word lifted up here, you'll see it again in John 12:32. John 12:32. I want you to listen very well to this. John 12:32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, or will draw all unto me. Verse 33 now says, this he said, signifying what death he shall die. Now, you can't say that the word lifted up just means Jesus will die. No. It involves his dying, but not about his dying. It has to do with his resurrection from the dead. In that statement, he already includes his death, because he mentions resurrection. Just like Acts 2. Acts 2:33, he was exalted. It's the same word used there. To be lifted up. Acts 2:32, John 8:28, Acts 5:31. So, being lifted up here. It's not being lifted high, like he lifts you high. No. It's being raised from the dead. So I say, lift him up higher. That means raise him from the dead higher. That doesn't make sense, does it? Right. Because he has died, never to die again. And he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Good. So he gave him up to die and he's lifted up. Okay? So, look at Titus 1. Titus 1. So when I hold the Old Testament books, I must separate myself to what? To what? Come on. To what? The gospel of God in the Old Testament. I must separate myself to the gospel of God because God himself separated his son in the resurrection from the dead. Never forget that. That's one. We were in verse 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, as though he should, promised before the world began. So, what have we been seeing so far about the promise of God is life. What he will do personally. God has never been involved in death, outside of Jesus. What God can give is life. God cannot give death. He can't kill. Some guys don't like that statement. I don't know why. When they say God can't kill, they say, ah. So are you saying the devil is the only one that has the power? If God has more power than the devil, he should be able to kill too. Listen to yourself. The power over death is life. Hallelujah. The power of our death is not death. The power of our death has to be what? Life. God's power is life. Hallelujah. The power of our darkness is not to darken the darkness. The power of our darkness is life. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? So when I say the power of God is powerful, his power has to be forgiveness of sin. His power can be punishing sins. His power has to be forgiveness of sins. That is how he executes his power. Praise the Lord. Still out there? Very good. So go to Exodus 20, because we want to look at Exodus 1. We're in the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. I used to say I'll go on Concord speed. They said Concord is not a guy. So what speed do I go now? Exodus 20. Cheetah. Come on, is cheetah still the fastest animal? Cheetah is still the fastest animal? Cheetah? Is still the fastest animal? Oh. That's serious. So no animal has improved since. Acts 20 verse 5. No, we were reading about the Ten Commandments, remember? Will you find Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Now there's a portion that we explained last week where he said, I am the Lord thy God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquities or iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay? So, it says the iniquity of the father, and we said that word is pakad, remember? Can you remember that? To visit iniquity is the word pakad, which means to attend to it, to take note of it, to care for it. And we studied it last week, that the word pakad is not negative. Who can remember that last week? Can you remember that? That means I will take care of iniquities. Now, if you didn't know God, alright, let me change to these guys, okay? Hello? Now, if you didn't know God, you will assume that what he says is I'm going to punish them. This is a scripture used by many generational course apostles.
The word pakad means to care for or to attend to. Now, look at the next verse, because that's what I want us to look at now, because we explained this one last week. It says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay? Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, what do you mean to take in vain? What is he going to do? He's going to show mercy. Right? Come on. Are you there? What is he going to do? He will show mercy. So how would you take his name in vain? Huh? Okay. The word vain is the word shav in the Hebrew. S-H-A-V. It means false, or better still, nothing. To take it to mean nothing. So, how would you take his name in vain? That means you wouldn't believe him. You reject what he wants to do. You reject who he is. He says, now when you reject that, when you reject my promise, you reject my person, you will not be guiltless. The word guiltless means you will not go unpunished. It's the very opposite of righteousness through faith. That means you will now rely on your works. Because God's action towards man is mercy. If you take his name in vain, doesn't mean you just call the name of Jesus in vain. Jesus! Put something behind it. Say, Jesus, I love you. Hey! Hallelujah. Say, Jesus. You know, people can be really funny. They just think God is angry. Say, Jesus. You know, yesterday, I saw Ozil's goal. That's your business. And I screamed, Jesus! He said, Pastor. You have lost your salvation. They've just removed your name from the book of life. They are replacing it with your own, have you? Rubbish. I remember one day when I saw that Olympic game, there was this Usain Bolt. And I saw how he took off, not this last one, the one before. And I saw the way he took off. So slow. And I was watching. And I saw how he ended. Someone was beside me. I said, my Lord God! So I said, to ordinary 100 meters. Bro, what is happening to your Christian life? I wanted God to see what I saw. As God said, no, I don't do frivolous. I didn't see Hussein. I didn't see him. God said, I don't see Hussein Bolt. I don't see human beings. I only see. No. Hallelujah. I just said Jesus. Doesn't mean I called it in vain. Glory to God. I just called his name. Amen. He must call it in the Bible. All I know, Jesus I know. Hallelujah. So, his name in vain here means to see his words as empty. Whatever God said is empty. Because in the next statement is remember the Sabbath, which we said means to what? To cast in your mind. Keep it holy. What's the Sabbath? God's work. Your rest. Hallelujah. You hear that? God's work. Your rest. So how do I take his name in vain? I refuse his word. So God is not threatening you. No, he's not. By saying that, no, he's not threatening you. We said in this series that the Ten Commandments were hinged upon what? The rest of God. Hallelujah. They are hindered upon entering into his rest. You do nothing. He does all. Praise God. You just believe. Look at Titus 1 one more time. Do you get that? Did you get this? Very good. Titus 1.
You guys should help me this week. This Bible has finally torn apart. My Genesis is becoming Exodus. Exodus will soon become Revelation. It will just gum it back. That's all. I don't want to change this Bible for a long time. I like it. Titus. Where's Titus? Okay, I found it. Titus 1. Alright. He says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. Watch, look at verse 3. But at in due times, manifested his word through preaching. Hallelujah. Against through what? Preaching. Manifested his word through preaching. The word manifested is the word phanero. Phanero. Used 49 times, it means to make it very clear. So, before now, it could be mixed up amongst many statements and words. But now, through the preaching of Jesus Christ, what happens? There is a manifestation, hallelujah, of God's word. God's promise. Manifested through preaching. Listen to this one. It's manifested through preaching. So, it is our preaching that reveals God. It's what we say in the gospel. That reveals God. So that means the gospel, yes, is come and be saved, but the gospel is also the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Let me see how you understand that. In the gospel of Christ, we find the true picture of God. The true picture of God is found in the gospel of Christ. Look at this one now. He says, which is committed unto me. Hallelujah. According to what? The commandment of God, our Savior. That word commandment of God is the word epitage. E-P-I-T-A-G, the word commandment, epitage, is used 7 times. I'll run through the one used for man. In 1 Corinthians 7:6, Paul used it as that which came from his authority. I give you this commandment. I don't give you a commandment. Just write this down quickly. 1 Corinthians 7:6. 1 Corinthians 7:25. That's Paul. 2 Corinthians 8:8. 1 Corinthians 7:6. 1 Corinthians 7:25 when he was talking about marriage. 2 Corinthians 8:8 in giving. And then Titus 2:15. Now, when it is used for God, the commandment of God, pay attention here. The commandment of God, Romans 16:26. Romans 16:26. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let's start from 25. Now to him, I wait for you. Are you there? Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Oh, hallelujah. Which was kept secret since the world began. Let's take 26 together. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. For the obedience of faith. So where is the commandment of God? In the gospel. In the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:1. The same words. 1 Timothy 1:1. 1 Timothy 1:1. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, a servant of God, and in an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. What am I reading? 1 Timothy 1:1. My mind is going too fast. Let me calm down. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Commandment. The commandment of God is found in Christ. That's where it's found. Now that word commandment is the word epitage as mentioned earlier. It's taken from a word epitasso. It's used for authority. It's used to carry out or to achieve a goal. So God's goal is achieved in Christ from the gospel. God's goal is achieved in Christ. As we preach, we carry out his authority. We carry out his authority. So his commandment, pay attention, is related to the promise
of what he did in Christ. He's not commanding men to live right. He's commanding them to believe right. Let me take that one more time. He's not commanding men to live right. He's commanding them to what? Believe right. That's what we have. So, put this down. So the 10 commandments, which were made to be 10 by the people that were involved, the 10 commandments were not meant for writing on stones. They must have been meant for what? Preaching. Hallelujah. They were meant for what? Preaching. They were to be preached as what? The gospel. And then believed. Hallelujah. It's not the constitution of the church. Thou shalt not. Who is thou? You. Thou shalt not. No. The commandments were to be preached. And in the preaching of the commandment, he is to reveal God and his promise. So, if you were to be in Mount Sinai, you know you'd do better than most of the angels. But you don't think so? Okay, if you were in Sinai, would you have said, thou shalt not? No. You wouldn't have said that. Why are you looking at me like this? Was it God that gave those commandments? Huh? It was so dictated by a man and the angels. Because God's word is a promise of life in Christ. Hallelujah. So if I hold the 10 commandments today, I view it in the light of the promises of God. What God promised in Christ. Let me see if you're following this. Are you following this? What God promised in Christ. Now, don't forget that we said that we can separate the 10 commandments into two parts. Remember? The first has to do with faith. To believe. That's why nobody called them 10 after the Old Testament. Jesus didn't call them 10 and the epistles did not call them 10. Does it make sense to you? Good. Now, in Matthew 5, for example, look at it. The 10 commandments or the commandments should be reviewed and rewritten or re-preached. Matthew 5, 21, Jesus said, you have heard of them. He didn't say you have heard of God. You have heard of them. Matthew 5, 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time. Verse 43. You have heard it has been said. But now I say unto you, if they were sacrosanct, how come Jesus is re-explaining them? Do you understand what I'm saying? If they were sacrosanct. That's why when he says that, if you hate your neighbor, he said, thou shalt not kill. He said, look, if you have hatred, you're already guilty of murder. That's showing you that it was more than an instruction. It was a promise of life. He says, look, if you look at the woman lustfully, you commit adultery in your heart. He said, if your right hand makes you sin, you cut it off. It's better you enter. And I told you last week that he was talking about the promise of the new man. He's the one that will cut it off himself. He will give you a new heart. Hallelujah. He took away that heart of flesh. And only out of our flesh and gave us a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. We're going to see that shortly. So, Jesus takes away that heart that lusts. Are you following this? He takes away that heart that will lust after a woman. He takes it away. So when he says he will cut it off, he was referring to what he will do. So everything in Mount Sinai was God's promise. Are you following me? That was God's promise. Because God is consistent God has never asked man to become anything. God has always told man to believe what he will make of him. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? Okay. If you have been following since we started, this should be very clear to you. Now follow this now. Look at Hebrews 8:5. Why would Jesus say, it has been said of them in the old time, now I say unto you. I mean, it makes you see a distinction in the personalities. Hebrews 8:5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was to make the tabernacle. For see, he said, thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So look at, he said, you make according to the pattern showed thee in the house. Now, did anyone ask Moses to build the tabernacle? No. Moses built that tabernacle because of the audience. He began to explain the gospel in the tabernacle. And the more he did that, the more sin conscious they were. Because the gospel is not done. It is what? Preached. So, Moses, according to the pattern showed you in the mouth, now, the truth is this, and Moses cannot see beyond Moses. A man without the Holy Ghost cannot see beyond his capacity. So, you will not lay too much blame on him. Let's do that. Let's absorb him for now. So, the temple belonged to Moses. The temple is not called God's own. God has never asked anyone to build a physical building for him. Never. Look at Hebrews 3. The letter of Hebrews was so clear. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, verse 1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. For as much as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. Listen to this very well. Let's take verse 4, verse 5, verse 6 together. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is God. Look at verse 5. And Moses, everybody, let's go. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. In whose house now? In God's house. How can it be God's house? Read now. As a servant. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Let's take verse 6. Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are? Huh? Whose house are we? So, is the house a building or men? Are you following this? God's house has never been a building. What Moses did was to do a pattern. Is explaining Christ. Hallelujah. Is explaining Christ. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus shed his blood, the writer of Hebrews says, actually, the blood was shed in our hearts. Hallelujah. Whose house are we? So if we can correct Moses is building of a house and bring in a spiritual reality, how much more the entire commandment? Praise God. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Was that temple the house of God? It was never. It is not. It can never be. Because it was made with hands. The one Jesus entered into was not made with hands. Hallelujah. Whose house we are. Let me see if you understand this well. So, on Mount Sinai, you must be able to understand things done from a spiritually dead man's perspective. They couldn't go further than that. A spiritually dead man is spiritually dead. He's dead spiritually. Dead spiritually. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead in dead. That is the best he could have come up with. Are you there? Remember, go to Acts 7.
Okay, that was the temple number, Exodus 25:40 was what I wanted to quote earlier. Acts 7:38. You will never find God being mentioned as a major, a principal actor in the giving of the Ten Commandments. Moses and the angels. Look at Acts 7. Acts 7:37. And this is that Moses. Acts 7:37. And this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your own brethren, like unto me. Hear him shall you hear. Can you imagine? After you have built a house for them, giving them laws, now say, him shall you hear. So he still put them on standby. That after all this, oh, this person shall you hear. So Moses' message was not a building. It was not a set of laws. It was a person. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? All those Ten Commandments, as they call it, are supposed to be found in a person. Is someone listening? Are you listening? In a person. And that person is the gospel of God, which was in a promise. Is that very clear? Do you understand where we have been coming from since? Aha. Follow this now. Acts 7. Look at 44. Okay, let me read verse 8. I've read 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai. And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Oracles. Oracles. Oracles are words. Oracles are words to give to us. Saying, to whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them in their hearts, turn back unto Egypt. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. So, that means, the lively oracles were to be believed. Are you listening? They were to be what? Believed. So, in between the giving of the law, pay attention, that's the Ten Commandments, and the 612 laws, in between that was the mystery of the gospel. Do you understand? You know, it's a mystery that is now unveiled to us in Christ. I've showed you in this series where Moses said, I give you life and death. Choose life. I now say, you should say with your mouth and believe in your heart. Don't say, we shall go to the heaven to bring Christ down. We shall go to the abyss. Can you remember we looked at that? But the word is nigh thee. Referring to the gospel. So at the end of the day, he still referred them to words and believing, which is not found in the laws he gave. So in between his actions towards Israel, you will find the mystery of the gospel. Are you listening? I'm just referring back to what we had learned earlier. Look at verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion he had seen. Let me ask you, was there ever a house, a physical house? No. There was not and there will never be. What house could Moses have seen? Men. Born again men. Let me see if you're listening here. Are you following this? Born again men. But in his communication to those who were stiff-necked and unbelieving, he gave that promise as what? As a law. Are you listening to this? He gave that promise as a law. So what we'll find in the Ten Commandments today, we'll reconstruct it and call it the promise of the Spirit. This will be found in the Spirit. They were not things they were to perform. They were things they were to believe that God will do in us. Are you listening to this? That God will do in us. You can't trust angels, trust Moses, and then compare them with Jesus. You need prayers. Moses said, hear him. Right? Say, him would you hear? Are you following this? In all things. And what did Jesus say to us about our conduct? He said he will give us a new spirit. Hallelujah. a new heart. You will be born again. Hallelujah. You will be born again. How are we born again? By what? Gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, that's where we started from. Can you remember that's how we started from? That the gospel must be what? Preach. That's how we started from. Step by step. Now, look at this. Galatians 3. So if you were to get to Sinai today, assuming they want to replay, you just still Sinai, and then you say, what would you say about those commandments? Would you add thou shalt not? Huh? Who can tell me your own wordings? You have liberty. What would you have put? What would you have put? What would you have put? You'll be able to. You said you'll be able to. Then you will do, you have added another one. Okay? What about you? What would you put? You will walk in. I'll walk in. Okay? You walk in. That's what you put. No problem. Just put it. What about you? You will sing it. Okay? Galatians 3, are you learning something? That's why Paul said that which was ordained to life was now to death. Can you remember we looked at that? That which was supposed to be ordained for life, the promise of life, now became death. A promise of life now became the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We'll look at the word curse of the law next week. From the word curse of the law, some people say curse of the law is poverty. I don't know where they got that nonsense from. If the curse of the law is poverty, there are people who have this curse of the law and they are very rich. There are those who are blessed and they don't have money. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It's written, the curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let's take verse 14 together. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through you, Jesus Christ. That we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through what? So, what is in the gospel? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse chapter 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's take verse 6 together. Let's go. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Verse 8. How is then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature were no gods. But now, after you have known God, or are rather known of God. Hallelujah. We are now known of God. That is, we are known to be of God. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So, how? It says, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. What was given as commandment was a promise of life. A new birth. A new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you following? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you learning something here? Ezekiel 36. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. This was a prophet in the Old Testament, remember? Upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Let's take 26 together now. Let's go. A new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I'll put away the stony heart of your flesh. And I'll give you an heart of flesh. 27. And I'll put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. And do them. Who is the singular actor here? God. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now go to another promise. Quickly, we'll look at that one maybe later again. Look at Jeremiah 31. Put your hands here and go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt with my covenant they break, although I was not an, I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. I'll put my law in their inward parts. Hallelujah. Are you there? And write it in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God. And they shall be my people. Let's take 34 together. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. And every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. And I will remember their sin no more. See the sequence. He mentioned forgiveness after the new birth. You look at why. Later. So it says forgiveness comes with it. Which means, at no point was God calling for perfection in man. At no point was he setting a standard. Are you following this? After making you a new creature, and then giving you a new heart, he now says, I will forgive you. At no point. That's why when you say Adam sinned, you say, what did he do? What Adam did will still be related to unbelief. At no point was God demanding works on man. Not at any point. A new heart will I give to you. A new spirit will I put within you. Now, go back to that, Ezekiel 36. Are you learning something here? A new heart, a new spirit. He says, I will take away. Now, I checked that word, take away, is the word sahar, S-U-R. It was used a few times in old Hebrew language for beheading someone. That is, you can't, you know, when you behead, it's gone. When you behead someone, you remove the head, that's all. When you remove the hand, it can still function. When you remove the head, and that's all. There's something that I will sever permanently. I will take it away. I will remove that stony heart. That stony heart. Where do you find a stony heart? Exodus 24. A stony heart. Out of your flesh. The same word stone. Come unto me. Unto the mount. And be there. I will give thee tables of stone. And a law. And commandments I have written. That thou mayest teach them. That you may teach them. So these things were supposed to be written on the heart. Right? By the Spirit of God. And they were supposed to be preached by men. They are not supposed to be given as rules and regulations. Let me see if you are following this. Are you listening to this? It's a promise of God that ought to have been taught and explained to man or men. Look at Ezekiel 36. I will put my Spirit within you. Look at this word. And cause you to walk. To cause you, to make you. Is that not the same thing in Philippians 2:13? God is at work in us. Hallelujah. Both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. I will cause you to walk in it. I will cause you. Look at the next word. To walk in my statutes. To walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. That word statutes is the word condition. Chok in the Greek. In the Hebrew, sorry, C-H-O-Q, is used for a condition, a state of being. That is, he will put a condition in us. A new creature, my spirit. He will put his nature in you, and that's what statutes. Then you will now walk in my condition. You will walk in my status. Are you following this? Because what did he give you? He gave you his spirit. So what are you going to walk in? You are going to walk in his... Let me see if you are following this. Are you following this? He gave you his spirit, so you will walk in his spirit. So, remold the Ten Commandments and call it walking in the spirit. Which spirit? The spirit that we have received in Christ Jesus. The law of the spirit of life. Where? In Christ Jesus. So I say in Christ Jesus. Where is God's gospel? Where is his promise? In his son. Are you learning something here? Are you learning something here? So it says, to keep. You shall keep my judgment. The word keep is used for God himself. To see it. To watch over it. To see. When you say God should keep something, it means he watches over it. So you will see. You will see God's judgment. You will see his wisdom. That is, in the spirit of God, you will have knowledge. You will have discernment. You will see things. You have clarity, wisdom of thoughts as he gives his spirit. So this is God's promise. Hallelujah. Are you following this? And how do we attain this? Is by faith. So this was what was promised. Just like I mentioned the temple, Jesus told them expressly in John 2:19, he said, destroy this temple, after 3 days I'll build it again. And he got angry. Ah, how old are you? He said, 40 and 3 years Solomon built this temple, and the Bible says, this spoke he of his death, his own body. And the body is the church. So when he spoke to Peter, he said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build a building. The verities of God's promises are always in man. Are you following this? And God will build it. God has never asked you to build for him. He is the one that will build in us. Are you listening to this? So what Moses did was for man. What God will do, say, whose house we are. Hallelujah. Say, we are his building. Say, we are his handiwork. Say, like you say, we are his handiwork. We are his work. And it calls us a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following? So whatever Moses gave was to be promised, not dictated. Romans 7. Paul read that the other time. He says, but sin, okay, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I have not known loss except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of consequence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once, and when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found out unto death. Does that make sense to you now? It was supposed to be a promise of life, now became a law of sin and death. Why did Moses do that? Go to Matthew 19. I hope you are learning something. Matthew 19. So if I hold the Bible now and I see the Ten Commandments, I see the promises of God, I see the nature of a man born again, and I'm grateful for the capacity that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. To walk amongst men as God will himself. Glory to God. Matthew 19. Why did Moses do this? Jesus said in verse 8, we spoke this last week, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from beginning it was not so. Now, what was in the beginning? What did God promise before the world began? We saw it. What was it? Life. Which was to be preached, can you remember, by his commandment. Do you understand that? It was to be what? Preached. It was not to be a do or don't. Do you understand this? It was the promise of life. Who is going to give life? God. Who will cause us to walk in it? God. Let me see if I'm following this very well. That's where we started from. So, the Ten Commandments are the gospel, or is the gospel given to unregenerate disobedient men. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Very good. To unregenerate men. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. Now I begin to close from here. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you there? Look at verse 3. For as much, hallelujah. Oh, I want to start from verse 2. You are our person written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the apostle of Christ. Say, I'm an apostle of Christ. Hallelujah. Ministered by us. That's where we put the gospel. Written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Not with ink. Now when you hear ink, that's not the Ten Commandments. Ink is Moses. Right? There's nothing supernatural about ink. Alright? Not with ink. There is what Moses, the 612 laws that he gave, that he now put beside the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. Can you remember that? We studied that before. Now, he says, not in tables of stone that it distinguishes it. That means the Ten Commandments. But in fleshly tables of the hearts. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, what does he call the entire scenario? It makes a distinction. He says, it was to be written on hearts, not on stones. It was to be given by the Spirit of God, not by dictation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So we're not supposed to be obeying commandments. We are to be walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And where is that Spirit? Is the promise of God fulfilled in us in Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hallelujah. This is very clear. Look at the next verse. And we trust as we are through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Say, my sufficiency is of God, who has made us, hallelujah, heavenly ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. That is, it's not by following what Moses gave, but by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not of the letter, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was to give life? Moses turning to the law of sin and death. Why? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? For if the ministration of death, written and engraving in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with? He doesn't call it the glory of God. He called it the glory of who? Moses. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation bore glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. That means what Moses did was to turn it to condemnation, was to turn it to death. But it says in the Spirit, what is ministered to us? Life. What is ministered to us? Righteousness. Hallelujah. We receive righteousness. Hallelujah. That means when the Holy Ghost is ministered, we receive life. We receive righteousness. We are not to be righteous. We are not to do right. We receive righteousness. Hallelujah. And we receive life. Hallelujah. For if the, look at verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. That means it's not the kind of glory we are talking about. But the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remained is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not ever look to the end of that which is what? Abolished. Hallelujah. But their minds were blinded. For to this day remained the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away where? In Christ. So whatever you saw on Sinai had a veil. Do you understand? What was meant to be a promise became a commandment. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Why was it a commandment? Because there was what? So what do you do in Christ? You remove the veil. What have we been doing since? We have been taking away the veil. Can you see it? So when we take away the veil, what do we see? We don't see Moses. He says, even unto this day, when Moses is there, even in churches, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, hallelujah, when we shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is not a commandment, is liberty. Hallelujah. Can you see? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one. Liberty. He's not talking about church building or church service. He's talking about the law. Are you following this? Where the Spirit of there's liberty. Look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So what was to be given as a promise was what? Huh? Was what? The glory of the Lord. Are you in church today at all? Was what? The glory of the Lord. Now, we said the glory of the Lord is in what? Is in His resurrection. In His life. The glory of the Lord. And we are changed. Hallelujah. from that glory into this glory. What glory are we changing? By the same Spirit of the Lord. So rather than receive instructions, what can we see in those commandments? The promise of the Spirit. Let me see if you understand that. The promise of the Spirit now fulfilled in Christ. I close now. Chapter 4. Seeing then, therefore, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the eating things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid. It is hid to them who are lost, that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, or the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Let's put verse 6 together. For God, who had commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. And we have this treasure in heaven, that the excellency of the power may be of God and of us. So what was on Mount Sinai? A promise of a treasure. We have that treasure today. Hallelujah. It's not come and become. It's not do this for me. It's, this is my promise for you. My promise for you is that thou shalt not covet anymore. Thou shalt not steal anymore. Thou shalt not kill anymore. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's what is in my spirit for you. Glory to God. It's a new heart. A new spirit. It's a treasure. That's why Paul will say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why would he say new? He had mentioned new covenant. Then he says new creature. You can only find a new creature in the new covenant. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. All things have become new. What are the old things that passed away? He's mentioning the law, the ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation. Are you following what I'm saying here? That glory has passed away. All things have become new. And that says all things are of God. That means God was not in that commandment. God was not in that covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He has always been reconciling. Are you following this? So on Mount Sinai, what was meant to be given out was reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses. If he had said, not imputing again their trespasses, that means he was doing it before. No, he never did it. Not imputing their trespasses. Hallelujah. And what has he done? He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Are you there? So God never imputed trespasses. What do we have? The ministry of reconciliation. He made him sin for us when we were sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is a new creation under the Old Testament? No. Is he to do the Ten Commandments? No. He has the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. He has tabernacled in him. He has believed. He has entered into our rest. Hallelujah. He cannot covet. He cannot commit adultery. Hallelujah. He cannot kill. Praise the Lord. Up there. That's what the new creation is. That's what we have received. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We can go to Galatians 3. I close finally. We have received the promise of the Spirit. Are you there? Are you there? Paul, Galatians 3, has screamed loud and clear, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been able to set forth crucified among you? This let all of you receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So as I hear the gospel, what did I receive? the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you so foolish? Having begun where? In the Spirit. How did we begin? We began in the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit through faith. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Hallelujah. Written and engraven in stones, not us. Written in our hearts. Hallelujah. Now we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. How we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why Paul will say, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. We are led by the Spirit. We are born. We are led by the Spirit. There is the word I go to come from the Spirit. Glory to God. We came from the Spirit. God's life is in you. God's nature is in you. God's Spirit is in you. So you are not doing to perform. You are not doing to impress. You are doing to express. Hallelujah. You are doing to what? Express what you have received in Christ. Are you blessed? Lift your hands toward heaven and bless the Lord.